The MK Mental Health Hour with Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support in partnership with Thomas Connolly Estate Agents and MKFM.
It's just gone 7 o'clock on your Sunday evening. Hello, it's Leah with you for another Milton Keynes Mental Health Hour. Tonight we're discussing domestic abuse and we continue with the music. The original lined up after Take That. This is Never Forget on MKFM.
The MK Mental Health Hour in partnership with Thomas Connolly Estate Agents.
It's Take That and Never Forget on MKFM. Good evening, it's Leah with you for another Milton Keynes Mental Health Hour. We do this every single Sunday with John from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support. Hello, John.
Hello, Leah. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Good. Yeah, I'm all right, Tom. Not too
good,
bad.
Good. So we do this show every single Sunday together. We kind of discuss a variety of mental health topics and it's a bit of a safe space for us to just have open conversation. Tonight we're going to be talking about domestic abuse. We're going to be speaking to Isabel from MK Act very shortly. But before we kind of delve into that, how is Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support doing? Any updates?
Yeah, loads. We were at an MK Dons match yesterday doing some fundraising. So for people who don't know, we have a variety of business services. So we train companies, we have some digital health stuff, and we also support adults. All of this is going towards funding a one-to-one service for children locally. So we were at an MK Dons match yesterday. Don't know the complete outcomes yet because we've got a lot of counting to do. But it was really, really good.
Fantastic. Well done to you.
And And also we are starting now to accept GP referrals.
Oh, wow.
So for anyone in Bletchley and Thurston at the minute, they can request their GP to refer to us for some emotional support. So that's just starting, so that's really exciting, and we've got a lot of mentors who are ready to go to support some people with their mental health.
Brilliant, well done to you. I feel like every week there's just more and more development.
It's a shame there's a Christmas break because we're really on a roll.
No, you're doing really, really amazing things. So as we just mentioned, we're going to be talking about domestic abuse this evening, and joining us in the studio is Isabel, a refuge coordinator from MK Act. Good evening, Isabel.
Good evening.
Thank you for joining us. Now, you've been with MK Act for a really long time, haven't you? How long have you been there?
Yeah, almost 25 years.
Wow.
So, yeah, long time.
And I suppose there must have been a lot of changes in your time at MK Act. If people don't know about MK Act, can you give us a bit of an insight into the kind of journey that it's been through and the kind of things that you do in the community?
It originally started as Milton Keynes Women's Aid almost 45 years ago, set up by some people who worked for the Development Corporation at the time. And the following year, they were given the first refuge, which was a shared house for six families who lived there. And from there, it sort of expanded, really, into the service we've got now. So we now have a crisis intervention service who deal with people who are obviously in crisis and needing emergency help and support. And they deal with safety planning and finding refuge space if it's needed and supporting people until they're out of that particular crisis. Then we have a refuge within Milton Keynes. So that houses 28 families, so people with children or without children there. Typically we have around 35 to 40 children from babies through to teenagers. So it varies. Sometimes we have lots of little ones, sometimes lots of older children, sometimes a bit of a mixture. That's the refuge part of the service. And then from there we have an outreach project, which has a resettlement worker and peer support for people who are not currently in the service but could be suffering from trauma from previous domestic abuse, so they can access the peer support service as well. And then the other side of our work is with the perpetrators of domestic abuse. So we have a perpetrator program who do group work with perpetrators who are ready to acknowledge their behaviour and want to change their behaviour.
Right, so I mean, a huge amount of work that you do in the community, and I suppose you're really just touching on the surface of everything that you do there. What is it that MK Act stands for?
It stands for acknowledge it's happening, call it by its name, and tell someone. So the idea being, let's talk about it, let's not have it as a hidden subject. And the name was changed from Milton Keynes Women's Aid when we began to work with male victims as well. Right. So hence, we didn't want to alienate any men that were going through domestic abuse as well. So that was the name change.
And men being victims isn't as common as women. I've got a bit of statistics
here. Go for it, John, yeah.
That's a wonderful statistic.
You've always got your stats.
Yeah, so annually, one in four women will experience domestic abuse. One in six men will experience domestic abuse. So it's not a huge, huge difference, but obviously there is a lot more women who fall victim to it, unfortunately. But it's a very common thing, apparently, across England and Wales. 100 calls an hour are made related to domestic abuse. So hopefully from this show we'll be able to help people take those first steps, identify it, and then do something about it.
Well, that's exactly what we're going to be talking about in this evening's show. We're going to delve into that after we hear from the original now. So I Love You Baby on MKFM. A big anthem for your Sunday evening. It's the original and I Love You Baby on MKFM. It's Leah with you for another Milton Keynes Mental Health Hour tonight, talking all about domestic abuse. And we're joined in the studio by John from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support and Isabel, a refuge coordinator from MK ACT. So throughout the show this evening, we will be kind of helping with the first steps to kind of support people and get them out of an abusive kind of relationship. But to start off with, I suppose we should probably identify the different types of abuse, because they do vary, don't they, John?
Yeah. Well, initially as well, you kind of have this preconception that domestic violence or domestic abuse is purely punching someone or something physical or slamming doors and stuff. And looking into it and learning a lot more about it, it's quite surprising about how wide it can actually stretch.
Right.
Because it's not just physical stuff, is it, Isabel? There's a variety of other ways that someone can be abused.
Yeah,
really.
Exactly. And I think that's why we tend to talk about domestic abuse now and not domestic violence, so that people do realise that there are other forms of abuse. And it's all about power and control, and one person having that power over another. So the other types of abuse that we would consider were domestic abuse are financial abuse or psychological and emotional abuse.
So financial would be what? In terms of power and control, controlling how they spend their money, or
how they spend their money,
what access to it as well.
Maybe if somebody works, they may have to have their salary paid into someone else's bank account,
right,
and things like that. So not having the means to be independent, really.
Wow.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
So there's the financial side.
Yeah. Psychological and emotional abuse. So lots of telling people that they can't manage on their own, can't do things on their own, where they actually start to believe that that's the case, which then means that they're less likely to be able to leave a relationship.
So again, it's taking that independence, like you're not independent, you need me,
that's kind of
thing.
Exactly.
And these things are really difficult, you know, anyway, but I suppose when children are involved, it becomes, you know, even more complex.
Yes, yeah, because if you've got children, you want to keep a stable home. You want them to keep with their friends, keep in their local school. But sometimes that is not possible. You come to the point where you realise that you need to leave for your own safety and your children's safety.
Certainly coming up to Christmas, because we were having a chat about it, weren't we?
Yes,
about not necessarily seeing a huge amount of people reaching out over Christmas, but come January.
Yes.
So there's this need to keep a stable home over Christmas.
Yeah. And certainly we have had people arrive on Christmas Eve and need help on Christmas Eve, but equally we get a lot of maybe a little bit of a quiet period over the Christmas time, and then come January, where people have tried to keep an even keel in their house for the children's sake mainly, they realise that after Christmas I actually need to go now.
So I suppose we need to be really aware at this time of year, especially if there's anybody that we can kind of help and support. Are there any signs, like early signs, of somebody being in an abusive relationship?
I think maybe just a change in somebody's demeanour. You would normally notice that somebody's self-esteem is quite low, or they're not being allowed to phone you when they want to, or come and see you when they want to, if it's a friend or family member. Those sorts of little bits of control that insignificant at times, but then when you add them all together, you realise it's a bit of a problem.
So we said it can kind of snowball or be drip fed over time. So just gaining that control slowly.
Yes, exactly.
So sort of keeping tabs on someone, where they are, how long they're there for.
Yeah.
Do people get timed?
Yeah, we've had clients where if they go to the shop, they get timed, because the perpetrator will know it takes you 10 minutes to go to the shop to get the milk. So if you've been 20 minutes, where have you been? Who have you been talking to? You didn't just go to the shop. Where else did you go? So those sorts of really, really fine-tuned control. What have you spent? Let's see the receipts, those sorts of things.
There was also something that I found out around controlling sanitary products as well, which I found quite surprising. But
yeah,
that seems like something that can be also another sign.
Yeah, and I think that's, it's a way of demeaning a woman, isn't it? Because that, it's an essential product, and it's just a way of making them feel worthless and degrading them, really.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there are definite kind of things that we can work on, and we'll be able to kind of give some advice on the best steps of moving forward if this sounds like something that you can relate to or somebody that you know, it sounds familiar. We're going to continue the discussion after Nico and Vin's Am I Wrong? Which plays next.
The MK Mental Health Hour with Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support.
Nico and Vin's Am I Wrong on MKFM. Hello, it's Leah with you for another MK Mental Health Hour. Tonight we're discussing domestic abuse with John from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support and Isabel, a refuge coordinator from MK ACT. So we've kind of discussed the various types of abuse there is and the early signs of somebody in an abusive relationship. But it's one of those things that you know those things are all wrong. It was a lot about control and you think, well, you need to just get out of that relationship. But it can be really difficult to do that.
It's easier said than done,
exactly.
Isn't it? And often, you know, we've probably known that people are in relationships that aren't good for them, whether it's family member, whether it's friends, whether it's ourselves as well. But there's a huge amount of barriers to change, they're called. So different fears and anxieties around actually taking that step away from that relationship. And obviously, if there's been a history of abuse, that person's self-worth is going to be really low. There's going to be certain risks and different things that they would have been told and now believe that they should stay in that relationship because of these different fears. So that can be a variety of things, can't it, Isabel, around... Yes.
Exactly.
Well, I can't remember, what are they called? They're isolation...
Isolation tactics.
Yes. Isolation tactics.
Yes. So what do they involve? What's an isolation tactic?
Well, I think if somebody is a perpetrator of domestic abuse, if they can isolate somebody, they're less likely to access help, so they're less likely to leave. So it's very common for someone experiencing domestic abuse to have lost contact with their family and have lost contact with their friends, maybe not be able to go anywhere on their own, so not be allowed to go to work or be accompanied to medical appointments, so then they cannot say what they want to say at the medical appointment. So anything that can isolate them will actually obviously keep them still in that relationship and in that home. Other tactics of abuse are...
I mean, there's various types, isn't there? And I suppose that feeds into, you know, people losing their confidence and you know, all of the other kind of negative side effects that come with that.
Yes. If someone's self-esteem is low and they've constantly been told they can't manage on their own, they may lose their children if they leave, they're going to become more dependent on the person that is abusing them. And so that makes it...
They're scared to approach them and stuff as well. So
you
don't really want to... You don't really want to act on anything in case all of these things that you've been told for a period of time. We said they kind of get drip fed in. So if you think around the isolation tactics and the early signs of being timed when you go out, where you go by yourself, all of that builds to just being completely isolated.
Yes.
And if there's added fear of your children being taken away or other people being told certain things that might not necessarily be true, because I think that the sexual side of things comes in quite a bit in terms of fear. So
yes.
It's not necessarily just children being used against you.
No, I mean, sexual abuse is a big part of domestic abuse as well. And apart from the physical acts that we would ordinarily think of, there's the things like threats of sending photographs to your family, intimate photographs and things like that. And, you know, that would really make you think twice about wanting to leave because of the shame and the embarrassment of those sorts of things.
Yeah, so that can become quite... Well, that's where all the anxiety and the fear and stuff comes from. So it doesn't necessarily have to be that extreme all the time, but that... Or you don't... I suppose... In that kind of environment, you won't necessarily think about that sort of stuff consciously.
No.
But if it's been built up over time, that's why people tend to get stuck in these.
I was going to say, because it's not going to be something that happens overnight, is it? It's something that, you say, is drip fed in.
It's very much
very
much a sort of ongoing process, really. And if especially if somebody thinks that they're partner is about to leave or about to access help, then they will up the ante. So, you know, and if you've constantly been told that you can't manage on your own and your children will be taken from you, you start to believe that. So that's, you know, it makes you stay in that relationship.
It's definitely a very difficult and sensitive subject that has to be kind of dealt with in the right way. Yeah. We've got some great kind of first steps of what to do if you are in an abusive relationship, which we'll start talking about next after Everything But The Girl. It's Missing on MKFM. Everything But The Girl, Missing on MKFM. It's Leah with you for another Milton Keynes Mental Health Hour. Tonight we're discussing domestic abuse. We're going to be kind of talking about the initial steps that you can take and the first steps to kind of support somebody that you think may be in an abusive relationship. We were just talking about barriers and various kind of vulnerabilities to be aware of with different groups. One of those is to look at the various cultures that might stop people from being able to get the help and support around them that they might need.
Yeah, certainly if you're from a different cultural background, you quite often are expected to stay in that relationship. So that makes it more difficult for you. Even if you've got family around you, they may not be supporting your need to leave that relationship. And if you have insecure immigration status, you may not be aware that you can actually get some support and assistance outside of the family. You may not have the language skills or the understanding of the how the system works in this country, which makes it more difficult. But certainly there are steps that we can take to help people in that situation.
And that could be something that's actually used in terms of the isolation tactics and stuff.
To make somebody stay. Because if they're told that actually you have no rights in this country, you will be sent back abroad, then they don't know that there is a different path to go along. And they've no idea of where to go to access that help.
But there are rights and there are things that people can do in that situation.
Yes, there are,
Good.
Yeah.
And another thing to be aware of is the LGBTQ community as well, which we were just chatting in that song, John, that it can be quite an isolating thing anyway.
Yeah, well, if you look at an abusive relationship just adding to people's isolation, you kind of need to consider people with those existing vulnerabilities. So certainly in the LGBTQ community, if somebody's been abandoned by their family or they've come out, or maybe they haven't come out yet, and they're having more of a secret relationship on the side of their normal life, which is very sad to think about, really. But that adds to the vulnerability of them not being able to talk about it, or if they have been abandoned by their family because of their sexuality, then already that's a bit of their support network that's gone. Really, which I don't know if that's quite a regular thing that you see a lot.
We have a fair amount of clients that are from same-sex relationships, and sometimes that is the fear of everybody knowing that is their situation, even though, you know, they're in that relationship, but as you say, family may not be aware. So it's the threat of that being held over you, that if you leave, I'm going to tell everybody that this is our situation, which again would make you fearful for leaving that relationship.
Absolutely.
Keeps you under that abuse.
Definitely. So if this does all sound very familiar for people and they kind of want to take those first initial steps to kind of get out of that abusive relationship, what would you suggest are the first things to do?
Certainly to try and keep some network open. So you know, if you have one family member or one friend, maybe have a code word with them, so that if you need help in an emergency, you can contact them. If it's not safe for you to be obviously ringing the police, you maybe could ring your friend, and your phrase could be, "Have I left my cardigan at your house?" For example,
It shouldn't really be something quite extravagant, like a really random word.
No,
because that
something
might be
that's
a little
quite
bit obvious.
Quite useful. I mean, wouldn't be useful if you always left your cardigan at their house.
No.
But something that would alert them that actually there's a problem here, and I can phone the police for my friend because
or maybe
they're in
if
need.
If you do have children, there is a specific toy, like,
yes,
I don't know what a good toy is. I don't know. Did I leave Buzz Lightyear at your house or something like that?
Yeah.
So that it's quite specific, but still quite general.
Yes. Yeah.
So having an agreement with a trusted friend or family member like that.
Yeah. And sometimes it's much easier if you are planning to leave to have a planned move. So if you can maybe move some of your things to a friend's house, a few belongings at a time, your ID, your children's ID.
So quite important documents.
Maybe medication, things that you are going to need when you leave, but you're not maybe going to be able to pack a bag quite openly. So you could maybe put a few of those things away, and then when the opportunity arises and you have a planned move in place, you're all ready to go.
So those important things that you don't necessarily use every day that won't be noticed that they're
exactly.
going.
And I suppose in these situations, friends and family and your kind of support network is really, really important as well.
Massively, yeah. And one of the main things that we picked up on was that there might be a real temptation to, but either the victim or friends and family who might recognise this stuff, it's quite important for them not to approach the perpetrator.
Yes.
Not to confront them.
No, exactly, because if you approach the perpetrator as a friend, you're putting yourself in danger. But once you have left that house where the perpetrator and the person being abused are living, you don't know how that's going to pan out and whether that actually increases the risk for the person living with the abuse.
And certainly we've seen it quite a lot in the work that we do, that as soon as there is someone who does like that control and that power, and then either it's confronted or they feel like it's at risk, like you said, Isabel, they can up the ante.
Yes.
So it increases the risk. So it's about subtly having that agreement with a close friend, starting the ball rolling on moving some important bits out, and then of course reaching out to MK Act and the crisis intervention team.
We're always there at the end of the phone.
You are, and there are some really positive kind of case studies and outcomes of people that you've worked with that we're going to be talking to Isabel about after Avril Lavigne Complicated, which plays for you after this.
The MK Mental Health Hour with Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support.
Avril Lavigne and Complicated on MKFM. It's the Milton Keynes Mental Health Hour tonight, discussing domestic abuse with John from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support and Isabel from MK Act. So we've spoken about the various kind of types of abuse and the kind of initial steps if you are in that situation where you're wanting to get out of an abusive relationship. And it might feel like a really daunting prospect, but there have been really positive outcomes that you've experienced at MK Act, aren't there, Isabel?
Yes, we have lots of positive outcomes, but one that sticks to mind really is a young girl called Maddie, and she approached our crisis intervention service and was supported by them until there was a space in refuge. And she came to us with her child, who was about 18 months old at the time. The abuse had started when she was pregnant with her daughter. Maddie had lost her mother when she was a child and had been abused as a child as well. So she came to the refuge, and her emotional health was really up and down on a daily basis. Every day was different for her, and she found it really hard to cope. Social services were involved because of the abuse and her relationship with the child's father. But she also had feelings of self-harm, so it was hard really to support her, but we had lots of help from other agencies. So we had social services, the health visitor, the family centre, the GP, the psychologist, and the mental health team.
And actually, just even you running through it just shows how much support there is out there.
Yes.
You just kind of need to start that process
exactly.
To be able to access that help.
Yeah, and we have links with lots of agencies within Milton Keynes that we can draw upon depending on the needs of the clients we're working with. Her mental health did deteriorate after she had to give evidence against her perpetrator, and she was suffering lots of flashbacks, and actually admitted herself to the Campbell Centre so she could get the help that she needed. And when she came back to us at the refuge, she was in a much better place, and we were able to support her. She attended domestic abuse awareness programmes. She did lots of arts and crafts, things that would help her to deal with any time that she had where her thoughts would roam back to the abuse she'd suffered. And she was then offered a property. So she was then supported by our outreach service. So she went through all three parts of our service. And she is managing her tenancy really well. Her daughter is thriving. Social services are no longer involved. She's doing lots of courses. And she also, for a period of time, attended our peer support as well. So she is really moving on and really positive
Amazing.
Outcome there.
Wow. I mean, that is incredible to hear what a turnaround that story is for, yeah. for Maddie. And actually, it started when she first started to recognise the position that she was in and start to get help that is out there in Milton
Keynes.
All
those different areas of MCAT working together as well. It's
yes.
really, really good.
Absolutely
yeah.
incredible. Well, we've got some kind of roundup tips. There's been so much advice shared in the hour this evening. A bit of a summary on the way and advice on kind of where to get help and more about our guide with Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support after Cece Peniston now. It's finally on MKFM. Cece Peniston, finally on MKFM. So tonight we've been discussing domestic abuse on the Milton Keynes Mental Health Hour. And John, just run us through a quick kind of recap of some of the kind of advice and topics that we've discussed this evening.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you recognise that maybe you are being timed when you go out or restricted in the people that you see, maybe you are starting to be told that you can't be done without your partner or anything like that, the psychological side of things. If your isolation is generally being increased by being with somebody, then it's important for friends, family and yourself not to approach that person or approach the perpetrator directly. They might be putting yourself more at risk. Agree in a code word or a code phrase with a trusted family friend or family member. And start moving those important documents out. So the things that aren't typical, you won't necessarily see that they're gone, but they're really, really important for you to keep hold of, like passports, ID, different documents like that. And you can call the MK Act Crisis Intervention Team on 0344 375 4307. And also, if you have historically had an abusive relationship and you might want to work through that, that's something that we can certainly support with at Arthur Ellis, and you can just self-refer yourself to us on arthurellismhs.com.
Lovely. And that number for MK Act is a 9 to 5 Monday to Friday number, and if you do struggle getting through on that, then you can email info@mk-act.org. I know that we'll be podcasting this interview. If you did miss any of it, it'll be over on mkfm.com, and you've also got a guide coming out tomorrow morning on yep. your website that
yeah,
people can go and download and read all of those tips in much more detail.
Absolutely.
Lovely. Thank you both so much for joining us this evening. Next week, John, what are we talking about?
Alcohol.
Alcohol.
Christmas alcohol.
Okay, well, join us for another Milton Keynes Mental Health Hour next Sunday from 7.
Bye.
The MK Mental Health Hour, in partnership with Thomas Connolly Estate Agents.